Warning, this episode contains explicit content. Please proceed with caution. What's up, everyone, and welcome to Whiskey Sex Talk. We are your hosts, Romeo.
And Kim.
Kim.
Romeo.
Good morning.
Good morning to me, and good evening to you.
Yes, that is it. That is correct. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about Finnish whiskey.
Whiskey, yes. Finnish whiskey. Whiskey from Finland, not finished whiskey, F-I-N-I-S-H-E-D. Although, obviously, some Finnish whiskey is finished, but.
indeed. I actually have to make a whiskey run to kind of stock up because I've actually finished pretty much everything I've had. Not that I've drank it like as an alcoholic, but over time, I just ended up like, literally, I'm dry in my house.
Yeah. not a good situation.
No, not a good thing. So, Kim, when did whiskey distilling in Finland start?
Well, like its Nordic neighbors, many of its Nordic neighbors, Sweden and Norway, distillation in Finland was basically kind of relegated by a lot of national, countrywide restrictions. And so, like, the first whiskey actually was Koskenkorva Distillery, but that was basically kind of a government distillery. So, the company was like Alko was the it's a state monopoly, and so Alko has been since 1932. There's in the 1990s and 2000s, there was kind of a renaissance of Finnish whiskeys. So, Finland has a deep tradition of vodka, which they call viina, and sati, which is a special kind of ale. So, the techniques are not unfamiliar with them, to them.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. Thanks for that clarification. So what are the main Finnish whiskey distillers?
Well, Hanamorvat Tenola Beer Hunters, which is in Pori, it's a brewery, a distillery, and a restaurant. And the Hanamorvat Tenola means little bird. There's a series of restaurants, and they actually have two establishments that are breweries, distilleries, and restaurants. But they were really, the one in Pori is the one that really kind of launched the whiskey scene. A gentleman named Mika Häkkinen started distilling malt whiskey in 2001, and then in 2004, and it's called, it's Hanamorvat Tenola Beer Hunters. It's called Beer Hunters because of the brewery, but they have started distilling, and they distilled released one of the first whiskeys, which is called Old Buck, and that was in December of 2004, and it's a malt whiskey, and interestingly, Old Buck's second release was chosen by Jim Murray in his Whiskey Bible as a European Mainland Whiskey of the Year, 2009, and Jim Murray, for those unfamiliar, has been writing the influential Whiskey Bible for many, many years. But Old Buck is a very small batch of whiskey, they're hard to get your hands on. And Jim Murray described Old Buck, the second release, as very, very bourbon-like. Like a lot of honeycomb, a lot of licorice,
yes,
which is not what you would think of as Finnish whiskey, but it was part of it was because of the aging in bourbon barrels. And the distiller has said that he feels like they are capable of, producing whiskey that's, Speyside-like or Islay-like. So Speyside light and fruity, or Islay-type whiskey, which is, generally speaking, peated and smoky. So he feels like he can do anything. And then they have a second brewery, distillery, and restaurant in another city. And they, it's clear that they are using ex-bourbon barrels because the whiskey is called Scoil, which is Gaelic for school, because it's in an old, the restaurant is in a beautiful old building that used to be a school. But it's not quite yet ready yet. So it's kind of taking a little while. But interestingly, this restaurant also is one of the best whiskey bars or whiskey restaurants in the world. So that's very cool for such a young industry.
I love that the Land of a Thousand Lakes has arguably it seems like they're really deeply rooted in a drinking culture out of all the Scandinavian countries. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you would think when you consider a thousand lakes, it would promote a drinking culture.
And so Kim, what are there characteristics unique to Finnish distilleries?
Well,
because you mentioned they have the Speyside type of notes and versus the mm-hmm. The peated and
the Islay
notes. It seems like they're pretty on that spectrum. It's a wide spectrum.
That's a wide spectrum, but that's basically the choice of the distiller at I'm going to use the English version, which is the Little Bird Restaurants, Distilleries and Breweries, and that's kind of their choice. I mean, they clearly age in ex-bourbon barrels, so that's going to give that vanilla, the honey, those caramel notes that are pretty typical of bourbon. But in general, the flavor notes, the terroir is, Finnish whiskeys are very much about terroir. There's a long history of rye production, rye vodkas, et cetera, in Finland. And so rye is a dominant flavor in Finnish whiskeys. And so that's going to be kind of spicy. Rye whiskey typically has some spicy notes. And, if it's finished in Finnish oak, which is, as far as I can tell, a Quercus Robur oak, which is a European oak. And there's a couple of different characteristics of Quercus Robur, depending on where it is. In Spain, it tends to be kind of lighter and, very much more spicy. But in France, for instance, you're going to find more chocolatey notes, more cherry, notes. So, and as far as I can tell, Finnish whiskey tends to err on the, Quercus Robur that you find in France. So it's going to be kind of chocolatey, cherry, rather than, kind of light, fruity, and spicy.
That's an interesting contrast compared to all the other Scandinavian characteristics that we've talked about in the previous episodes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very different. And they do have, I think they are very adept at distilling rye, which is, I think, helps. Now, not all of the whiskeys are finished in Quercus Robur. And Quercus Alba is the American oak, which is, we all know, and that produces a lot of vanillin notes, which is why, I just mentioned the Little Bird distilleries, they age in those ex-bourbon barrels. So that's where you're going to get more of the bourbony notes.
Is there a specific reason that their characteristics are a little bit more closer to, what you mentioned, to the French whiskeys?
Well, it seems that Quercus Robur, if it's in a cooler climate, it produces those chocolate and caramel notes, as opposed to Spain, which is obviously hotter and, mm-hmm. you know, a drier climate than France. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say Finland and France are a lot alike, but Finland and France are closer in climate, I think, than France and Spain in a way, you know, even though they're closer together, just that Spanish dry heat, which I don't think you find as much in France.
Right. And the reason I was asking is because I would assume that, you know, Denmark would be a little bit, this is just me saying why. Looking mm-hmm. at the map, right, and how countries influence mm-hmm. each other, I'm looking at the map right now. You would think that Denmark would be a little bit more, their characteristics would be a little bit more similar to French, because Finland is closer to Russia and Estonia mm-hmm. and Latvia. So you would think it would have a little bit more of a different type of different notes. But anyways, I found what you said interesting, because who would have thought that like Finnish whiskey has a little bit more of those like chocolate, you know, the same, like those characteristics like French. I just found that right. a little bit, and which makes it a little bit more, it makes it interesting. And
yeah,
I'm more curious to actually try, because I haven't tried any mm-hmm. Finnish whiskey.
Yeah. I haven't either, sadly. But yeah, you know, you mentioned Russia, and that's Quercus Robur is,
yes.
you know, also found in Russia. And so it would make sense that it's, you know, the cold as opposed to the heat is what makes the difference. And, you know, another thing that affects Finnish whiskey is those, you know, those extreme weather, you know, the very, very cold. And then, yeah, it's a land of the midnight sun. So they're very, very long summers. So that those extremes in temperature and, you know, really kind of affect the maturation. And you can get a three-year-old whiskey, which is young compared to, you know, Scottish or,
right.
you know, Scottish whiskey or American whiskey to some extent, you know, usually want to go for 5 years or six, seven. But it is, you know, it's because of those extreme fluctuations in weather.
Now, does Finnish whiskey have a special taste profile?
Well, you know, I mentioned, you know, you know, the Little Bird distilleries,
right.
They launched and they have made the choice clearly to use ex-bourbon barrels. So they're going to have not a Finnish, a typical Finnish whiskey, you know, kind of a flavor profile. But some of the others really, you know, you're getting some of that, those spicy notes. You know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, the water, as in all of the Nordic countries, mm-hmm. you know, Scandinavia. Finland is not considered Scandinavia, but it is considered a Nordic country along with Iceland. But, you know, the other Nordic regions, you know, you're going to get that very, very pure water and, you know, and a history of distilling that, you know, so there's going to be terroir, there's going to be a lot of homegrown rye, which they really know how to, you know, rye tends to be a cold weather crop, you know, so, which is why Canada has so much rye. And as we've mentioned in, you know, previous episodes, you know, the eastern United States, everybody thinks, oh, corn was, you know, bourbon was the first whiskey in America, and it was actually rye because,
right.
you know, rye grows better in a cold climate. So, you know, that's typically, you know, the same here. So there's extreme weather weather fluctuations. There's the rye, and they do some barley and rye, and there's, you know, a distillery that actually does corn, which is highly unusual in that kind of climate. But so it's going to have beautiful water, you know, very smooth, very delicate, you know, which will help if that's the kind of whiskey that they're making. But then there's a lot of the whiskeys that are, you know, going for peaty and, you know, that, but that helps smooth out some of those smoky edges.
Nice. I read earlier, Helsinki. Thank you. Oh gosh, whiskey, the rye, I think it's a rye malt, and it really has a little bit, which was what I read was what was interesting. It has like those, it's fruity at first, with those like undertones of apple and pear, which, you know, why am I bringing this up? I don't even know why. I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, No. You're absolutely right. I mean, I think if I'm getting what you're saying is, you know, it starts off with like a fruity style, just like the Little Bird distilleries. Mm-hmm. But they can deliver peated whiskeys. So, you know, and you wouldn't necessarily think of Finland as having a fruity whiskey.
Yeah.
But
that's why, especially for, I mean, you know, when I think of, based on like what we've covered here on the show, when I think of like those fruity notes I think of, you know, always bourbon, of course,
sure.
Or just more like what you said earlier,
or
like
Speyside.
Those tropical areas where they're a little bit more on that, they're more on the sweeter end, but you know, it just makes it interesting. It makes Finnish whiskey a bit more interesting and a little bit, I'm more curious to try because their reviews are great. Like people are giving the reviews for the rye whiskey I just mentioned. I think it's a malt.
The Helsinki, right?
Yeah, Helsinki whiskey rye malt has gotten really good reviews. I really wish I can try it. Like
I know, me too. You know, we always do a recommendation at the end of our podcast, and I'm just going to jump ahead and say that Helsinki rye malt, I think is good, and also the Kiro, and then there's another one, but I'll
we'll come back to it.
Some of the list, when we come to go through some but I just wanted to say one thing about why, even though rye is the predominant grain, one of the reasons you're getting, a lot of Finnish whiskey. Tends to be fruity is because they also use a lot of barley, which of course,
there you go.
Typical. But so you'll find a lot of rye and malt
barley,
you know, combos. Yeah. Blends.
Okay.
So whiskey made from both of those, as opposed to if it's pure rye, then it's probably going to be like, I think the one that you mentioned is a mix of barley and rye, if I'm not mistaken.
I want to say you're correct. You probably would know more than I do. But now that you mentioned the barley, now that makes sense.
And
what
yes,
you're saying
yes,
makes sense.
Of course.
I guess I didn't want to directly kind of say, well, rye is this way. Why is it?
Right.
You know, I just couldn't. I didn't have any words.
No.
But I'm glad you clarified
it's.
No, I just said I'm glad you clarified because now in my mind, now that makes sense. Like why there's those notes. So listen, you mentioned that there's four, there's like those big four whiskey distilleries in Finland. Does Finnish whiskey have, or I mean, are there any craft distilleries in Finland?
Not really. I mean, the industries are about 25 years old. So everything is kind of a significant distillery. We've mentioned Kiro. We've mentioned, I don't know if we've mentioned Tirunpeli, which is one of, the pioneering distilleries after the Little Bird distilleries. There is also a very interesting, and this is actually, maybe this, I guess you might be able to call this a craft distillery, but it's very odd. It's the Valamo, which is a monastery.
Oh.
And they make one whiskey. And I just want to say those monks are not messing around because it's a 3-year-old peated whiskey that is I think it's like 58.5 ABV. So it's really high proof.
Wait, back up a little bit. What type of monastery? Is it like a Catholic monastery?
Yeah, it's a Catholic monastery.
Will you look at that?
I know.
Leave it to these
like
monks.
Eastern Finland, and it's Valamo. And, you know, they have a history of distilling absinthe and gin. Yeah, Valamo whiskey. And they have a history of distilling gin, absinthe, and then like another herbal, you know, some kind of an aquavit, like a lot of the other, as far as I can tell, it's like an aquavit. But they have this one whiskey expression. They made the decision that they were going to make their one whiskey peated. It's 3 years old. It's a single malt, which is also amazing. And it's this crazy. And then they decided to just, you know, bottle it at what seems to be cask strength. So, you know, I don't know. I couldn't get information about whether they just only barrel or bottle like one barrel at a time. But that is a very high proof for your only whiskey.
I really wanted to stop here for a little bit, like, and talk about this. Now they're making these monks are making whiskey. What, for the Vatican? Is it for the public?
No, for the public, for the public. But you know, the monks were really,
because you know,
I mean, there's a huge tradition of monks. You know, monks were the ones who brought distillation from the Middle East, you know, where it was being used for, you know, to distill perfumes and medicines, and then brought it over to Europe. So, you know, the monks were the ones who brought it to Ireland and Scotland, where, you know, it was the water of life, Ushkaba, whiskey. Yeah. So, but they also brought it to, you know, the Nordic countries. And the monks, you know, were like, kind of like the, doctors of their time. So they used a lot of herbal remedies. And the other expressions from Valamo Monastery whiskey distillery are very typically herbal, and they're clear spirits. But this whiskey is, they went full throttle with their whiskey. So, but it's made for consumption. I think it can only be bought at the monastery. I wasn't able to establish that. I haven't seen it for sale even on, you know, our friend's whiskey exchange, where you can usually find everything. But that's crazy. But that, you know, it's interesting because you don't really hear much about monks in the Scandinavian countries.
No, I just, you know, when I think of monks, I think of chocolate. I think of, I think of,
wine,
exactly. I would assume wine, but these monks, you got to send me information on this because I'm really curious. I mean, that would be an amazing tour
to
this monastery and really, you know, hello, these monks are making whiskey. It's just, that's an awesome.
I know. You usually expect, the monasteries I've been to, it's like, here's some jam, here's some honey, you know, maybe I'll have some wine, but, you know, aquavit and, you know, vodkas and, you know, major high proof whiskey is not very common. That would be on top of my list to try.
And what's the name of this monastery and the name of the whiskey? You mentioned it briefly, but I really want to focus on this because I think this is really, it's really fascinating what you just said.
Yes.
A little bit of story.
It's called Valamo Monastery Distillery, and it's in Eastern Finland. It's an Orthodox monastery. So Orthodox Christianity. So not necessarily Catholic. Okay. Did you ask if it was Catholic?
Yeah, earlier I just commented because when I think of monks, I think, you know, Catholicism.
Yeah. It's, and they began producing whiskey like a lot of people in the 2010s. So a little later to the party than, you know, like, the Little Bird Distilleries or Tarantelli, which has been in business for 26 years. So,
I'm literally on their website and this is amazing. Valamo Monastery Winery and Distillery.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
It's really, really nice. I encourage our listeners to really check this out. It's really, I think it's a really cute, really interesting story, but really I don't know. I just find it interesting. It's one of those things.
Yeah. To try a whiskey made by monks who, you know, were the original, who brought distilling to Europe, which, you know, of course Finland is part of Europe. So that's would be top of my list to try. I mean, just so intriguing. And a 3-year-old whiskey. I know you are a better, Googler than I am, Romeo, but I was not able to find necessarily any information about where to get it. So as I said, even our friends at Whiskey Exchange, do not have it. I mean, they have Helsinki, which we talked about.
So I'm on their website and I believe you can do the online shopping.
Ah, But that doesn't mean that you can. That's what I'm saying. You can only get it there. That doesn't mean you can.
Let me see what you can get here. You can get candles, some sort of ritual. Yeah, you can only get candles. So you can't get, I guess, you're right. You could only probably go there. It might be one of those situations where because they make it and it's exclusively theirs, you only can only get it. It's kind of like, you know, when you, and I'm just sidetracking here, but it's just like if when you go to the Vatican Museum in Rome, towards the end of the tour, once you're done, after you're past the shops, there is the Vatican pharmacy, and they have like these botanical perfumes that you could only get there that is made in the Vatican, and also the stamps from the Vatican. I'm assuming this might be one of those things where you could only get the wine here, and the whiskey, specifically the whiskey here,
right?
Because then it just makes it's part of their whole, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Entity. I wonder, you know, considering that there's still a lot of influence of the government on, you know, whiskey in Finland, if they're exempt because they, you know, are a religious organization.
Be interesting. Oh, that's actually interesting. I would love to just interview the master distiller from that just alone, just because it's just so interesting. We're talking about Finnish whiskey.
It's kind of yeah, and that's probably the closest to a craft distillery, I would say. But, you know, they've been they've been selling for a while. So, the vodka is not new. So the vodka is obviously
these are the only craft distilleries, quote unquote, in Finland.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. You know, we mentioned Tiirunpeli, which is, you know, after the Little Bird distilleries, is, you know, one of the first. Mm-hmm. We mentioned, you know, Kiro, which is, you know, a very award winning. We mentioned Helsinki, mm-hmm. also award winning. And then there's like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, well, this could be called a craft distillery. There's the Muteman, Muteman. And they make a gin and they make a whiskey, and it's got this hilarious label of this guy, you know, basically giving you a thumbs up of this like old guy. But they make things like bottled long drinks and seltzers and things. So they are a producer of beverages, but are fairly new to, you know, the spirits, distilled spirits. And the Muteman whiskey has, you know, won a bunch of awards. So, and I also just wanted to mention Helsinki. You know, we were talking about most of the whiskeys are rye or a combination of, you know, malt and rye. Mm-hmm. Helsinki has a single malt, so that's going to be all barley. Then there's 100% rye. But Helsinki has a corn whiskey.
Oh, really?
Which is unheard of. You know, I don't know anybody.
So would that make it? Would whiskey. That would be like? I want to say. So would that make it bourbon?
No, because it's. Because bourbon has to be produced in the U.S. It's a bourbon type.
Yeah, right.
That's it's what a corn saying. Whiskey. Yeah,
corn whiskey.
Yeah, and so it's. Corn and I think malted barley. So it's not 100% corn whiskey. I mean, in the U.S., it would have to be like basically 80% corn to be, which I don't think that, you know, that corn whiskey is. But how interesting, you know?
Right.
I mean, this may be the only corn whiskey that I've heard of in all of the Nordic countries. I mean, we'll investigate when we get to Iceland.
Well, it just goes back to kind of what you remember we talked about Norwegian whiskey and how they're very at the forefront and they're really kind of really trying. They're just going for it. You know, they're not holding back.
Right.
They're experimenting. It just seems like these Nordic distilleries or these Nordic whiskeys, from what I'm hearing is they're really just pushing the envelope and seeing where it goes.
Yeah.
Like they're putting a product
absolutely.
Out and letting its story run. And I really do appreciate that because I feel like that's the way to go. There's only one way. And the only way is to not experiment, but to run with the idea and just see what happens. And I love that this is happening in the Nordic area. region.
And yeah, and you know, that's, as we mentioned, you know, I a while ago when we were first talking about Scandinavian and Nordic whiskies, I mentioned Ian Warburn Jones, you know, who's a significant figure in the whiskey industry, major judge at a lot of whiskey competitions. And, you know, when I visited, and this was a number of years ago, it was pre-pandemic, but I was like, oh, you know, the forefront of whiskey, you know, all these interesting whiskeys coming out of, you know, kind of the Japan and Taiwan and Australia. And he was like, well, actually, the forefront of whiskey is in, you know, Scandinavian, yes, and Nordic countries.
I remember you saying that. And speaking of that, since they're at the forefront, talk about mm-hmm. the women in Finnish whiskey industry.
Well, they haven't quite caught up that much in terms of women being involved in the industry, as far as I can tell. I mean, I haven't found any master blenders or distillers, but Marianne Pysing, Pyysing, I think I've pronounced her name correctly. She is the co-founder of the Taryn Paley whiskey distillery, so which is, you know, kind of the second, you know, whiskey distillery to start. And it's a family-run company still. Oh, and nice. She and her husband, Ansi, started it. And so she's been a partner in the, you know, in the company for 26 years. So she's, you know, because it's family-run, she's obviously taking an role as opposed to just like, you know, somewhere on the board or something.
Right.
So, well, that's, yeah. So that's the only person I found. It seems like a pretty male dominated, pretty male dominated compared to some of the other Scandinavian countries that we've, you know, been talking about.
So what are your, thank you for that, by the way, what are your Finnish mm-hmm. whiskey recommendations? Cause you mentioned,
well, you, of course, that Valamo,
right?
Monastery,
right?
I'd love to taste that Kiro, you know, that award-winning malt. I'm very intrigued by the, I mean, kind of really every one of the distilleries has a whiskey that I'd be interested in trying. You know, the Taryn Paley, you know, I'd love to, you know, taste their whiskeys. But I would say Kiro, not the 100% rye, but the malt rye, which has like some malt and barley. Of course, that Valamo, which also it's such a funny name, right? Valamo, it sounds like very charging forward,
right.
You know, gung-ho.
Yeah.
So, and that Mutman sounds very interesting. It's won gold medals. It's relatively new and it's won gold medal. So, you know, again, Finland really seems ripe for a whiskey tour.
Well, for our global listeners, if you guys have the ability to travel or the luxury, I encourage you to visit some of the distilleries in any distillery, but literally go to the Nordic countries, because from what Kim has been telling us, that's where it's at, and that's where the whiskey world right now is turning to or paying close attention to, but
and very innovative, right. You know, right, as you mentioned. And also, if you go to these distilleries, let us know.
Send us some bottles. Really, I'm serious. Yeah. Send us a couple of, or at least one for me and one for Kim. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for today. We are your hosts, Romeo
and Kim.
Till next time, bye.
Bye-bye.